Welcome to another episode of 10 Minutes With, supported by the PHA Group, where we meet entrepreneurs and business leaders from around the world to find out what makes them tick. Today, we are joined by Maureen Tongi, the founder of MT Art Agency, which represents exciting up-and-coming visual artists. Maureen has turned the traditional art world business model on its head. While galleries concentrate on selling art, she focuses on investing in artists. Founded in 2015, MT Art Agency currently represents 16 artists, and they have seen the value of their works. Maureen grew up in France, and by the age of 21, she was running her first gallery in Los Angeles, but is now based in London. Last year, she was included on the prestigious Forbes 30 Under 30 list, and has been commissioned to write a book on visual diets, her campaign for people to improve their well-being by consuming enriching visual art rather than endless Instagram selfies. Maureen, thank you for joining me. Tell me what made you set up MT Art Agency.
I've been in the art industry for about 10 years. I was a young gallery director when I was 21 years old, and I got asked by an investor that was based in Los Angeles to move to LA to open my own art gallery. When I arrived in LA, I was exposed to the top Hollywood agencies and basically how they built fame and recognition for their top talents. And I thought, wow, like two-thirds of galleries are not making money. It's basically a retail strategy. And yet I'm exposed to people who can build the reputation of someone 360 and do it in a really powerful way. So then I researched a bit and I saw that you had talent agencies in the sports business, music, film, but not in the arts. And I thought, okay, well, we're going to try to set up the first talent agency for visual artists.
So what were the main challenges then for you when you set up the business?
I mean, so many, I would say, like any entrepreneur. I think I'm in a really conservative industry. All the two sort of galleries are not making money. No one is actually doing that much to change the system. And that is because a lot of the industry is still subsidized. What this means is that when you're trying to do something innovative, you have a huge backlash. First, you're told that this is not possible. Then you're told that it's not right and somehow will not support artists the right way. And also you discourage economically as well. In court, I had people saying, you know, that because they didn't need to eat, they could perform better in business than I because they had a lot more means and therefore what we were doing will never succeed. So that's sort of courts I received as I started. But obviously, I think I'm quite a stubborn person and I generally believe in the idea and the economics made sense. And I think the idea itself felt like it was completely making sense as well.
So it sounds like you met resistance within the art world, traditional art world. How difficult was it though to find investors to back your vision?
I thought it was much easier than convincing the art world that that was the right solution. I think the art world is now more convinced now, but I actually think we were lucky to raise funds just after a year and have an amazing valuation as well. So we had already showed that we could develop revenue. Our business was in a good place. And actually investors bought into it quite quickly. But I think investors, it's a much more rational relationship. You know, it's not really about fears or insecurities or things like this that maybe a small world has or gossips. Investors look at your projections and your numbers and your revenues and whether or not your business can scale. And the business had that. So I think it was actually a very direct relationship and something that we were able to do quite easily.
And was it difficult to persuade artists to come on board and be represented by you in the first instance?
I think I was lucky that because I had been in the industry for a while, I definitely had the trust of a few good artists. They were scared initially to say that they were part of the agency. They kept on saying that they were working with Maureen, and I kept on having to say, no, you're now part of an agency, which is funny now because that's the first thing they say. And I think there was a turning point for me where 2 years ago when I signed one of our superstars, Adelaide Damoa, who was a Ghanaian artist, she posted on Instagram saying, oh my God, I just signed with that agency. And I was like, that's such an irony because at the beginning, yeah, they would have been scared, but that's because they were scared of what people would think in an industry that was conservative.
And what are your ambitions for the agency?
So I'm incredibly ambitious, but that you know that, I think. CA, UTA and William Morris were past the billion mark, and they're your top talent agencies in the world. No one is doing that for the art space. Our revenue has doubled year on year, and my artists, like, you know, Say Page just entered the Forbes 30 Under 30 yesterday. Adelaide is starting working with Tate. They've pulled up some serious projects as well. So I would like to think that we can be the agency of reference in the art space.
And you obviously work in a rather different way because, as I mentioned in the introduction, you work with brands, you work with public spaces. Is that part of a kind of wider vision you have?
Artists should just inspire everyone. Not only that makes sense economically because they will have a much stronger support system, but also I feel like, you know, they're providing us with a content that's so incredibly inspiring. So why not having them inspiring everyone. So we are looking literally for to integrate the art in all environments. And that is public spaces, it's also digital spaces, it's also brand and creative collaborations. Museums, of course, are part of it, and same with exhibitions. You know, I want you to recognize the name and the art of my artists, and I want everyone to recognize them. And I get excited when someone mentions this artist without thinking that's one of ours, because then I know we're doing a good job.
Tell me really about the visual diet, because that's something that's attracted quite a bit of media coverage.
So visual diet is at the heart of the agency. So when I was in Los Angeles, one of the things that really shocked me was, you know, I came across the phenomenon, if the case of Kim Kardashian, I would say. And I was like, how is that possible that we have let, as an entertainment industry, give so much power to a content that basically objectifies women, is incredibly sexualized and pushes us to consume every 2 seconds. And we know that's not really the value we want our young girls to be kind of striving on. And yet on the other side, you know, I compare the time that Kim Kardashian had 124 million followers and Le Louvre barely had 2 million, you know? And that was a shock to my system, because I thought, you know, we need our cultural content to have a stronger place, and we need our cultural content to have a stronger voice. So I gave that speech at the Royal Society of Arts as I started the company and said, I want to be the agency that's enabling artists to have a bigger voice, in the same way that I perceive the entertainment industry. But it was also because I believe that their content was a lot more inspiring and nourishing. You know, art is known to be a medium of therapy for about 100 years. We know that to be exposed to visuals is something good for you. So I kind of left it after that speech and obviously ran the company. And then 2 years later, Ted approached me to do a second talk specifically on that subject. And I thought, okay, well, I have to identify a research that verifies that certain visuals are harmful and certain visuals are inspiring. And that's when I kind of dig in and saw what NHS was also doing, and I realized that, yeah, there was a direct correlation in your mental health between the type of visual content you were being exposed to. So the phrase was then created for the TED Talk, and luckily MNC Saatchi thought that was a brilliant idea, and even more luckily someone like Ranking also thought that was an interesting project, which is how we're here now, being able to basically write new rules and new guidelines on what it means to be visually inspiring.
Now, I've got a few quick-fire questions for you. Describe what you do in one sentence.
So I'm the CEO of the first talent agency for the top visual artists.
What's the one thing people will be surprised to know about your business?
I think that actually it's all about relationships. It is about people. If you believe in the right people and you build extremely strong bonds, things work out.
When did you know you'd made it?
I still don't think I have made it. I think when you're ambitious, there's so many things that you want that I don't think you ever think you've made it.
Who's the one person to have helped you most on your journey?
I think he gets so little credit, so I will have to say it's my partner. I'm very lucky to be part of this women who have, you know, a partner that thinks that they're wonderful, and he's completely empowered me. He's unconditionally believed that what I was doing was right since day one.
How many hours sleep do you manage to get per night?
Completely varies. I'm someone that thinks that it's like running. You know, sometimes you have to give it everything that you have and you have very few hours. And by the second you can sleep more, then you do a 12 hours recap and then you work it for what you have.
How do you manage your time?
I think that's the same way. You know, just don't waste it. Just use your time very smartly. Every waste of your time is your main resource. It's not something you should do. So I identify what's a good use of my time and what's not very quickly, and I'm quite ruthless about making sure I don't waste my time.
What do you think will change in your industry in the next 6 months?
I hope what we're seeing is basically that artists are starting having more rights, which is exactly what we're saying, is that they should be leading the industry. It is crazy that we are in the art world and artists are not leading the art world. That's mad in itself.
Describe your biggest mistake.
I think, you know, trying to pretend to be someone else. We all do it at the start because the industry tells us that's the way to succeed, and this is always a miserable fail.
What's your one piece of advice for other entrepreneurs?
The classic one is always to say to work hard, because that's the obvious one, but I actually think manage your energy. You are one person, so just make sure that you can give and you have the energy to give and you look after the energy well.
Maureen, thank you very much. Join us next time for another episode of 10 Minutes With, a podcast supported by the PHA Group, where we meet entrepreneurs and business leaders to find out what makes them unique.